Would everybody introduce themselves, please?
Hi, I'm Johnny.
Hi, I'm Jared.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Nick.
The Grim Reaper. Is anybody in a band? Is there a name for this band?
It's a band called Dead Country.
There isn't a lot on this band yet. You know, sometimes you can dig really deep and sometimes you have to guess and sometimes you make it up. But in this case, I'm going to let you do it. But I want you to each take a piece of the history and kind of make it look like a little Mad Libs Rondelay. But here's what I know. I know that Nick came back from Switzerland 2 years ago. That's all I know.
Johnny and I grew up in Santa Barbara together. And when I was 23, I moved to Switzerland. I was there just for 6 months. Not going to school, not continuing my German studies as I had planned, and just kind of exploring around and wrote a bunch of music, and I decided that it was time to come back to the States, and didn't want to go back to Santa Barbara, but I wanted to start this band. So I moved to Los Angeles and called a friend of mine. He met me in LA and we started this band together, and then I don't know, Pat came on board pretty soon after that. Am I done already? You ready for the mic?
When Nick first moved to LA, there was another guitar player in the band, and they needed a practice space, which I had. So then they moved into my practice space with my other band, and that's how I ended up sort of becoming like reacquainted with Nick and the rest of the band. And then eventually the bass position opened up. So I originally was just filling in while they were writing songs, and then I asked if I could stay, and I stayed. So that's my part.
So anyway, I guess, I know Nick from Santa Barbara. We had art class together when I was a freshman in high school. And he witnessed me one day getting beat up by a kid named Meatball after I had hung up my watercolor painting. I turned around and this kid Meatball just like dropped me to the floor. And I think Nick was impressed with my poise and dignity as I was leveled to the ground. And I really think that's why he asked me to be in the band.
10 years later.
10 years later.
He never forgot.
Would you like to
say okay, something? My turn. My friend Samantha gave my number to one of the guys in Eve 6, which he gave the number to Nick. And then randomly one day I get a call to come jam with this band, Dead Country. So I think it took, three or four times practicing with them, and I still didn't know if they liked me or not. And then I did the Sunny Day Tour, and then I just ended up in the band.
The name... Dangerous territory. There are a lot of dead bands. So do you have like great search engine optimization going for you? Why did you choose the name? And then what were all the names that didn't make it?
First, I've been playing guitar. I started playing guitar when I was 8. And I think immediately wanted to have a band and started filling my, you know, textbooks up at school up with band names. And so it's been years of trying to come up with a good band name, and I've been in a ton of bands and come up with some of the names, and it's not a fun part of being in a band. It's not a fun game, the band name game. I don't know. You know, we haven't done a ton of interviews, and this question always, of course, comes up. I think that, you know, the name itself is open, you know, to interpretation. Arms and Letters was one that I was fighting for that no one was going along with. I think when I was first moving to LA, I was thinking of calling it Widows, which is another terribly morbid name. Future what? Future primitive. Future primitive. X's for eyes. Little visions.
I do get down to LA a lot, and one of the things that I know about LA over the past pick X amount of years is that it's tilted on one side, and that side is the Echoplex, Spaceland, and the Silver Lake Lounge, right? Yeah. And anything that would be west of there at this point, you know, some people do an occasional showcase at the Viper Room or the Key Club or a couple of other places. But what occurs to me as I'm listening to the music from this band is that you definitely do not fit into the indie rock scene. And the reviews that I've read so far, and they haven't been a billion yet because this is all very new, all say this is, quote, a mainstream band, that it's meant for radio play, that it's meant to be on heavy rotation, you know, on K-Rock. So I'm just curious, when you, you know, put the word Silver Lake on there, Is there a different, do people suddenly go, whoa, wait a minute, this is not what we expected from this band? Because there is definitely a Silver Lake scene. So tell me a little bit how you fit or don't fit into that.
I mean, we put the word Silver Lake on there because we quite all literally live in Silver Lake. And I think I like it. It distinguishes, you know, from just like the greater Los Angeles, which carries its own stigma, not that Silver Lake doesn't. I mean, I appreciate a lot of the bands in the Silver Lake scene, but I think for us, it just, I don't know. That's just where we live.
I mean, yeah, it's true that we don't really fit in that. I think putting it in, I'd rather be, have people think it's something else in Silver Lake than think that we're like a Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Strip. Like, you know, that's like something that I think none of us really want.
The lesser of the evils.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you say LA and you get a lot of people just think like, oh, like, you know, Motley Crue. Or like one of those, there's still a million bands playing at Sunset Strip who want to sound like that kind of stuff. And like
Hollywood Undead.
Yeah, like we're not into that scene. So like Silver Lake, though we're not indie, I don't know, kind of fits our personalities more, I guess. I don't know.
But you're definitely not trying to be the next, you know, indie rock band. But you're also not, like you said, trying to be that Hollywood Boulevard, let's just crunch it and make noise and prove that not only do we only know three chords, but we only know three words.
I don't know. I think that this band, we just try and write music, or we don't try to write the music, we write what we like to play and what we would like to listen to and what kind of band we want to be in. And we can play, I feel like as a band, we can play in Silver Lake and we can play different parts of Los Angeles, but it just, you know, it works wherever it works. I think we can kind of do our own thing. Yeah, we've been very fortunate to play with different types of bands. And
of course, the reason this got to me is because you are smart enough to have a big distributor, but this is your own label, is it not?
No, it's not.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about it.
About the label? The label is called Storefront Recordings. It's run by a guy named John Lachey, who found us through like mutual friend, and he really, really supported the band and really got into it, and he wanted to start a record label, and I believe we're the first thing he's put out, right?
I think so.
And he just was fully behind it from day one, so he wanted to put out an EP for us, and it's an imprint on Sony. His label is, because he used to work at Sony for a long time, I think.
The EP is just out, so the songs are pretty new to people, you know, who haven't seen you a lot in LA. So what's it like playing to an audience? So this audience tonight, the odds are really, really good that the extent that these people have heard the music, if they've heard it on the radio, they've heard me play it. There's only two people in this town that could have played it. And I don't know if Aaron at Live 105 has or hasn't.
I think it got played like once or twice.
Yeah, I think Aaron probably played it one night. And we trade playlists all the time. We do slightly different things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's in the big CBS corporate mold and can get away with certain things. And I, on the other hand, blew that all off a long time ago. So we have lunch and we talk about that. And we talk that we overlap about 20%. But what's it like? But then this audience, if they're really, you know, they're probably pretty savvy and the world has changed, so they've listened to it, you know, online, other places. But in general, though, I would imagine this audience isn't, you know, doesn't know the songs inside and out yet. So what's it like playing these songs so early to people at this moment in time?
Well, it's actually been pretty fun, especially with Far on this tour. Like, their fans are into the music that's similar enough to us that you put us in a room or in front of a room full of people, and I think we're going to win over a bunch of people. You know, I just think that we're a good enough band that we can do that. So it's sort of like a challenge. Every night we get a room full of people, and it's like our job then to like win them over. But I have to say, on a couple of these dates, there's been people who knew songs, which was crazy. I did not expect that. We found people singing along in Phoenix.
Yeah.
There was like one dude that knew like almost every word, and it was awesome.
So one of the things that is pretty obvious to me is that you recorded at a pretty nifty studio with a pretty darn good engineer. And, you know, so it's not like little, oh, we did a little starter kit and went into the garage. So how did you get into that nifty little studio, which you will now fill in the blanks on what exactly that was? It had some number in it or something?
Well, we didn't start in the garage, but we did our first rhythm guitar player or whatever. Our friend Ian is a recording engineer. So we first recorded, we did four songs a year and a half ago or whenever it was. And we did a bunch of the recording in Santa Barbara, and then we did all the vocals in his bathroom. So we have done the singing in the shower. But, our friend Nate plays in the band Foo Fighters and Sunny Day Real Estate, and those guys, Foo Fighters, own a studio called 606 in Los Angeles, and it's an amazing place. Beautiful studio, just being in there feels good. I would imagine even if you aren't a musician, being in there would just, you know, it's a cool place to hang out. And those guys were generous enough to let us go in there, and we went in, I think, for 5 days, I believe, and tracked 6 songs, and it was awesome. We've been back in a couple times.
We got a special friend rate on that, and I will credit that lovely engineering to our friend John Lestow, who I've recorded with some pretty crummy engineers before. So going into there and just like, he's just like awesome to work with, and you know, getting guitar tones is fun. He makes the studio fun.
So what's it like after you do bigger venues to go back to a smaller venue as the headliner? And you know, this is the kind of band, when you hear the music, that is definitely built for bigger places, for big places, you know. And so I always ask bands, you know, we're sitting here now and we're sitting outside of Slim's, and Slim's is not a small, you know, in this town, it's not a small venue, it's a medium-sized venue. But what are the aspirations of this band?
I approach, and I was telling Nick this the other night, if it's small or it's big, I approach it the same. I think the band in general sounds bigger in a big room, but I like something about playing a small room, just like playing aggressively and just tearing people's heads off. I like that. Sometimes I like the smaller rooms better, the more intimate rooms, but like the Fillmore, for example, I think the band sounds better on a bigger stage, just by nature, the way the music sounds.
Yep. But what are the aspirations, aside from the fact of ripping people's heads off and your personal aggression?
Yeah, I mean, we've all been in bands for a long time, and we would like to play in this band for many years to come, first of all. And I think that, I don't know, we want to have fun playing music. Like, when we played at the Fillmore with Sunny Day Real Estate last October, November, the next night we played at this tiny little bar in Hermosa Beach. And the promoter came up to us midway through the set, and he said, "You guys got to turn down. People are walking out. You guys are too loud." And the sound guy was saying that yeah, he said, "That's the loudest drummer I've ever heard." But we still had a blast playing that night. And I think that this band just has a really good time playing music. And I think that that's a really important thing to keep going.
And given that you've got the EP, and there's going to be an expectation as you're writing this new record, how do you think about what you turn around and do the, well, let's see, cut three needs to be a ballad? And
I mean, I personally need to constantly remind myself to just write what I write and not judge myself constantly and think. I mean, I don't think we're worried about, you know, how many ballads we have. And I mean, we're conscious of the writing, you know, and arrangement process, but I think we just write what we write.
It's just to record a bunch of songs that we really like and then put together the best record out of that group, you know, whatever fits together the best. Right? I mean, we're not sitting here going, okay, we need like 4 ballads, 3 fast songs, 2 medium-paced ones, whatever. We're lucky enough to be able to like kind of do our own thing right now, and hopefully for a long time we'll see if that.
I do a thing called a musical sandwich, and it's 2 of your songs as the bread and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.